Bruce Williamson is from the campaign group Rail Future. Bruce, very good afternoon to you. How do you feel about these plans for Network Rail to share some of its responsibility for track maintenance?
Well, I have some reservations. I think we should welcome Chris Grayling's statement that he wants to put the passengers first, and let's hope he's as good as his word, because that's really what the railways are all about. And if you think about it, it does kind of make sense, doesn't it, that you're integrating track and train, because they naturally go hand in hand. And so if you've got coordination between the track and train, that will, one would imagine, result in a sort of more efficient, more organised railway. But the other side of the coin, of course, is that you're kind of splitting up Network Rail. And this is where we have some concerns. You've got a body of expertise in Network Rail, who are very good at maintaining the track, certainly a lot better than Railtrack were. And are they going to be split up into sort of regional groups? Is there going to be an extra level of bureaucracy here? And that's what we're concerned about. The devil, of course, is always in the detail, isn't it?
And just the announcement a few weeks ago in the autumn statement about the Oxford to Cambridge rail line, but the Chancellor failed to mention this little detail, which, of course, we always expect them not to be that clear on what they're saying. But, Bruce, yeah. I mean, Network Rail are doing a much better job than Railtrack, but the problems that we experience across Beds, Hearts and Bucks, all our commuters who have these horrendous journeys on the trains, most of them, it's not caused by the track, it's caused by the train operators. We now want to give the train operators the ability to work the track as well.
Well, that's not entirely true. Of course, you know, Network Rail and the train operating companies will tend to blame each other when things go wrong. Sometimes it's, you know, events beyond people's control. But the railways, generally speaking, are the victims of their own success in many ways. That we're looking at passenger numbers which have doubled over the last 20 years. And we certainly don't have twice as many trains and twice as many seats and twice as many tracks. So we're looking at a sort of investment backlog that's gone on for decades, and we're really suffering as a consequence of that. So this move in itself, it's not a magic bullet. It's certainly not going to transform things overnight. But if it works right, it will help to make the railway slightly more customer-focused, I think.
OK. What's the real story here, Bruce? Because it sounds like privatisation by any other means. And, you know, with politicians, when words come out of their mouth, you always got to look and make sure you've still got your watch and your wallet in your pocket.
Indeed you have, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, both the RMT and the Conservative government have their own sort of ideologically driven agenda. And what we need to do is we're ensuring, you know, that the railways are run in the best possible way, regardless of ideology, regardless of whether it's state-owned or privately owned. So we're very glad that this isn't going to be sort of just rolled out over the whole network. It's going to be test-driven on one or two franchises if it works. I hope that the government would have the good grace to say, well, if it doesn't work, OK, let's go back to the drawing board, rather than sticking to their ideology.
But if it does work, Bruce, if they can make this, if they can, in effect, privatise part of the track network, the infrastructure, which the state, the taxpayers own, then they'll say, well, we'll sell off the rest of it, let's sell it to some big corporate people.
They may well do that. And again, you know, there are legitimate concerns about that, whether that would be in the public interest. I mean, we have test driven this before, not going back to Railtrack, but actually there's a thing called the Southwest Alliance where they tried to sort of integrate the track and train in the way that they're proposing. And that didn't sort of work out very well. It has been quietly dropped. So let's hope, you know, that they've got a better plan for this time around.
Who is best placed to run the network? Because Labour don't like this idea, but they've often talked about privatising, reprivatising British Rail. Mm. I mean, who are the best people to run this state as it are? Vital infrastructure, the government, the taxpayers, or private individuals and organisations?
Well, I would say railway men and women are the best people to run it. And to some extent, we want to sort of get it out of the hands of the politicians and let the people who are the experts in railways run the railways as they know best, you know. And I mean, British Rail, you know, did a fantastic job in many ways, but it was starved of investment. There have been some huge successes under privatisation, and some things have gone very horribly wrong. Like obviously Southern Rail, you know, they're very much the villains of the piece at the moment. You know, what we'll judge this by is outcomes. Does it result in a better service for the passenger? And if it does, then we'll say, okay, fair enough, let's carry on with this. Rather than, you know, again, let's not do it by ideology. Let's do it by results.
Bruce, thank you. Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future. It's 10 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock.